good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft. Tonight, we officially welcome the next generation of players. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's get it started. The NFL Draft is officially open.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sycamore. With me is Benjamin Solak. Joining you all on a beautiful Monday morning edition of the podcast to kick off our wide receiver portion of the summer scouting series. We finished quarterback 2 weeks ago, running backs last week, and now we've got an insane amount of wide receivers that we have to get
every
to this week.
Every single year, man. Every single year. I go to make the initial list, and I'm just like, all right, we're definitely watching these nine, and then the next tier has 25 kids. So
it's how it goes, man. I mean, we have guys that we are talking about today that are absolute studs. And then you look at the list of guys that we're talking about tomorrow, and they are absolute studs. So if there were any week in which you need to pay a lot of attention to the players that we are bringing up, it is definitely this week, because these are some big time playmakers that are going to be lighting up college football this year, then going on into the NFL probably next year, especially for the early guys that we're talking about, because they are so talented. Ben, before we get to the wide receiver talk, I have to ask you this question.
You got to do it.
How are you, my friend?
Everything's delicious, man. It's been 2 weeks now. Just I'm officially at the point where, like, I'm so badly thirsting for NFL hot takes because I've been stuck off the timeline for so long.
Oh, yeah, because you still don't have your Twitter account.
Yes. But so I get all of my news from ESPN now, which is weird. I forget that people, and people here also, including me, used to live like this. What would it just be like? All right.
I was gonna ask you, like, do you remember getting like ESPN text updates as the main source of your news? But you're too young for that. So people out there who are more of my age, more around the age of 30, you will remember back when flip phones and Razor phones and Nokia phones were cool, when everybody had one in high school, you could sign up to get ESPN like text alerts, not really like notifications from the app. They were literal texts that would come through your phone. And I remember the 2005 NFL draft. My best friend and I were on a school field trip the day that it was starting, on the Thursday that it was starting. And he got ESPN text updates to his phone. And so every time someone was picked, he would get a text to his phone. And we'd, like, run over and we'd, like, check the text to see who it was. And then we'd freak out. And then we'd just, like, go about our day or whatever. But I will always remember that phase of ESPN text reports fondly. So I feel like you're living that right now.
A little bit. Yeah, I'm getting my push notifications. But it definitely is, like, it's so weird. Because, like, a piece of news will break. Oh, what happened? Oh, it was the Fred Warner extension. And I was just like, yeah, Fred Warner's extended. Like, obviously, he's just the best linebacker in the league. And then I wrote about Fred Warner's extension for GDN, and then later learned that it was like a whole day of analytics, linebacker contract, drama, and discussion on the timeline. I was like, oh, I just thought Fred Warner was really good, and that would just obviously you would extend him. And I was like, this is what it's like to write without having already seen every single angle of the conversation already brought up on Twitter 10 bajillion times.
It's kind of beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, it's nice because people share resources for you. You just link them in your article. You don't get to do that.
That's fair. That's fair. It is a lot more work.
Yeah. But either way, hopefully back soon, because I got wide receiver takes to fire off.
We do. And we got some wide receiver takes to fire off today. We're talking about four guys that are good, good football players. First one we're talking about is Chris Olave from Ohio State. We're also going to talk about his teammate, Garrett Wilson. Talk about John Metchie III from Alabama and the Jahan Dotson from Penn State. Good football players, Ben. I just said there, and I kind of pigeonholed us into it, starting with Chris Olave. So let us start with Chris
Somehow
Olave.
I will deal, yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad that you're going to power through this, because it's going to be actually an easy conversation as we get giddy over this player. Chris Olave is a senior this year. Former three-star wide receiver, which is hard to believe. He got injured in high school, and then I believe he also was transferring schools to California. I believe he transferred to California to play his final year or two of high school football. And because he had to sit out a year due to transfer rules, he really kind of went under the radar. You know, in recruiting, it's so fast-paced that if you miss a year of high school football, like, it's almost, you're forgotten. You're off the radar. There's too many other kids that these recruiting programs, recruiting agencies have to worry about because there's so many kids playing high school football that if you miss a year like Clearshell Olave did, it's understandable that there just aren't a lot of eyeballs on you. So Olave only had a 3-star rating going into Ohio State, but very quickly caught on, made an impact in his early seasons there as a Buckeye. Stands about 6'1", 190 pounds, so he's a smaller-ish wide receiver, but man, he's got such a smoothness to his game, and he was a lot of fun to watch. I'd love to hear what you thought of him.
Oh man, I've loved Olave for a while, and when you watch him, I mean, it holds up. You know what I mean? There's no two ways about it. This is a pro, and he was a pro last year, and he's coming back. Which I know when we had a whole podcast when he decided that he was going to come back. He's got a ton of Ohio State career records in sight, potentially, depending on the quarterback situation. He's got a chance to hit career receiving yards. The record is 2,898. He's 1,100 yards off. The career touchdown receptions mark is 34. Olave's got 23, I want to say, or 22.
Okay.
So he's within range to hit some of these major records.
He would need career years. He'd need his career best year to come this year, but maybe he gets it.
I mean,
because he's never been a 1,000-yard receiver, and I don't think he's had that many touchdowns before in a year. Maybe 2 years ago he did.
Right. How many games did he play last season?
You know what, Ben?
I want to say.
I can look that up for you. Lickety split. He played 7 games last season.
Yeah, so he played 7 games, and he averaged
100 yards a game.
So if you're looking at a regular 12-game season on last year's production, then he can hit that 1,200 receiving yard mark,
no,
right?
And
then
he
had 12 receiving touchdowns in 2019, and that's what he would need again in 2021. And so he had 7 in 7 games. So again, on a 12-game season, he had 12 touchdowns. So it's very possible that even with a shortened season, he's able to do that. The reason he saw the field so early and the reason he's been able to have such a long career is because he's unbelievably consistent and polished. And it may be a little bit of a comparison bias because we also have another Ohio State receiver that we're watching today who I think is just less polished in general. And so that makes Olave's like prime trait seem like maybe it's polish. I don't think that's the case. I think his prime trait is his athletic ability. I think he's wicked quick. I think he's silky smooth. I think he's fast as all get out. I think he's a great tracker. But he's just so good at the little stuff. When it comes to, all right, I need to stack a guy vertically, that ability to modulate speeds and then dip that shoulder, you know, drop those hips, make it look like you're going to break and be able to explode on the top. The crispness in the cuts, he's the guy that they want on third and medium because he's got such a nice snap to his routes, a nice snap to his three-step stems, to his five-step stems. He's consistently where you expect him to be on time. He's able to make catches away from his frame. He's able to catch through contact. He's got so much little pro stuff to him already that, yeah, I mean, he's listed 6'1", 190. I don't think he's 6'1". This is going to be a common theme for receivers, by the way, today in terms of what they're listed and what they probably actually are. So I don't think he's 6'1". So is he maybe going to be cordoned to the slot in the pros? Maybe. I don't think you have to do it because I think he has enough speed on the outside to be a field stretcher as well. But even if he is, I mean, holy Moses, the route running ability that he's going to bring, he doesn't have the most diverse route sheet at Ohio State. The route running that he's going to be able to bring at the NFL level, the separation ability in terms of consistent possession receiver skills, he's got such steady hands. That's really exciting to me. Pro comparison as a receiver is Robert Woods. He gives me a lot of Robert Woods vibes in terms of Woods has the athleticism, you know, ran a 4.51 40 yard dash, jumped 33.5, like certainly a fine athlete to go downfield and to be a dynamic downfield receiving threat, has all that to him. But what's most dangerous about Woods when you get him in the slot, when you get him in motion at the snap, and then you let him work separation off of that and work that short to intermediate route tree. He's not the same blocker that Robert Woods is, and obviously it's important to Woods' role in Los Angeles with the Rams, but he's that level of separator and that level of consistency. And that might not get drafted super-duper high round one, but it is worth a round one selection once we start getting into the later half.
I'm going to name you a wide receiver, and you tell me if you'd rather have them or Chris Olave. Okay.
Okay.
It's every name that I'm going to give you is from the 2021 NFL draft. Okay.
Okay.
Ja'Marr Chase.
Chase.
Jalen Waddle.
Waddle.
Devontae Smith.
Smith.
Kadarius Toney.
Olave.
Rashad Bateman.
Bateman.
Elijah Moore.
Olave.
Rondale Moore.
Olave.
Dwayne Eskridge.
Olave.
I don't know how Chris Olave did not declare last year.
Name 2-2? Huh. You named all the other round one and round two receivers?
No, actually, there were two others that I didn't name. Terrace Marshall Jr. and then Tutu Atwell. Yeah.
Yes, I would take Olave over both.
I don't know how Chris Olave did not put his name in the draft last year. Now, there are a lot
of... It's got to be the Ohio State career records. That's my best guess.
There are a lot of personal reasons that guys may want to stay an extra year. I don't know. It could have... You know, it could be about finishing, getting the degree, or just the college experience. I don't know. There are a lot of things that go into it. It's not just about football. That's a big part of the decision, obviously. But it's hard for me to watch Chris Olave and what he has done over the last 2 years at Ohio State. And like you said, if you look at Olave's stats from last year and you average them out to a full season in which you think Ohio State's probably going to play, you know, their full regular season and then at least one extra bowl game, or if they're in the college football playoff, maybe you're playing two. How do you look at what he did last year and the pace that he was on and think, yep, he still needs to prove more. He still needs to show me more. Because I'm not saying that Chris Olave is perfect, but the things in which Chris Olave could get better at to make him a premium elite kind of talent that he could be, you learn in the NFL. You go get NFL coaching. You go get continuity with your quarterback, with your coaches, with your position coach. You get better with your footwork. You get even better and more diverse in your route running. All of this stuff can happen and come in the NFL. Right. He's not going to do anything in college football this year that I think makes me think more or less of him. And that's because I already think extremely highly of Chris Olave. When he was in high school, he was a track star as much as he was a football star. He had a 10.6 800 meter dash, and he had a 23 foot 6 inch long jump when he was just competing. He wasn't just a runner. This dude's an all-out athlete. You mentioned, hey, I think that he's got the speed on the outside to stretch the field. I definitely think that that's possible. I also think that he's got short area quickness to be a great separator in the NFL. And so when I look at Chris Olave, I look at a player who time and time again over the last 2 years, Ohio State has gone to in clutch situations, whether it's been short, intermediate, deep down the field, at the sideline, over the middle, whatever it is, coming out of the slot, coming out of the boundary, they go to this guy for everything. And he continues to deliver. And that's because he's one of those smooth movers that you're going to see in this class. I think he's extremely elite at that. That's a big-time calling card for him. I think he's got great footwork. And I think he's got a really great understanding of routes. Now, does that mean that his route tree is as diverse as it could be, or that he can get he can't get more precise with it? Right. No, I think that that's still there for him. But I think for what he presents right now, you can tell he understands things. He's attacking the blind spots of defensive backs. He's getting them to turn their hips the wrong way, only for him to cut back inside and make the defensive back try to flip their hips totally and continue to stay with him, which is a tough task because of how fast he is. I like Chris Olave a lot. I don't know if he's 6'1" either. He kind of just is what he is. He's going to be a smaller wide receiver, but I feel like he's very versatile in where he can line him up. He could hit you deep down the field. He could be a shallow yards after the catch kind of a player. And that's the guy that I would have said he was going into last year, and I would have had him as a late first round wide receiver last year. So I don't know why he went back, if it was for football reasons. Maybe he wants those records like you said, but it's not like Olave is going to grow 3 inches and pack 25 more pounds onto his frame. He's not going to do that. And right. If you ask me, that's the biggest difference of what would make him a late first round wide receiver and then like a top 10 kind of a wide receiver, is if he was simply bigger, which he's not, which is fine. But I don't know why he went back.
Yeah. Because I love his game. That's the thing is, if Olave right now is like, Ben, I'm adding 5 pounds. I'm like, sick, that's great. Like, I'm adding 10 pounds. We're like, cool. Is it going to come at the price of some of your smoothness, some of your transitions, your ability to maintain speed, right? Because if it does, I'm not sure it's worth it. Because that right now is so elite,
right,
that I would want to keep that in hand and keep that in place. I know that I said that he doesn't run as many routes you'd like to see him run. It's tricky. I don't think they're not in his quiver. I just think that the Ohio State offense doesn't ask them of him.
No.
The touchdown against Clemson, the little squirrel route, right, where you're outside receiver, you're in a reduced alignment, you fake a little out route, and then you go for the out and up. And when you go for the out and up, the corner has to turn, open his hips downfield to respect the out and up. And then you take that up and you break it back off into a comeback and you work to the near pylon. That's so freaking dumb. You don't give NFL, you give like, there's like 10 NFL receivers that run that route. You know what I mean? Like, that's just stupid. And then just give it to Chris Olave as a junior because you can. And that's absurd. So he has it in his repertoire. And that's why I think that he's going to enter the pros. He's going to immediately be given more slot responsibility than he has gotten at Ohio State. He's going to immediately deliver on it. And it's going to be a very explosive year one from him. He's going to be so pro ready, and he's going to be able to play multiple positions at wide receiver. And that is huge versus guys who it feels like we can say similar things about, i.e. like Jaylen Waddle. Like, oh, Waddle can play the slot and outside. Yeah, but he can run like 6 routes right now. You know what I mean? It was like Henry Ruggs as well. It was like, you know, Ruggs played slot at Alabama. Yeah, but it was really like slants. Like, it's like, you know, like you didn't see this. You didn't see how consistent and reliable it was. I mean, that was a gotta have it down. That was the Justin Fields back in after the injury on like second down or third down or something. And they're like, yeah, just run the isolation squirrel route with Chris Olave. It's like not human. So he's gonna be so different than like Mechie and Garrett Wilson, whose teammate we're going to talk about, and like Treylon Burks and some of these other guys with like crazy athletic ability. But Olave is just going to be so impactful year one. And to me, that's going to buoy him in this class tremendously. In the same way it buoyed Devontae Smith.
I think people are going to talk about Chris Olave similarly to what we talked about with Jerry Jeudy. You know, and not that they're exactly the same kind of player.
Daniel Jeremiah mentioned him and Will Fuller in his scouting report on Chris Olave this summer.
Yeah, I don't mind a Will Fuller one either. I wonder if he's as strong and as big as Fuller, but
Fuller and Olave needed to get bigger and stronger coming out of college, which was true of Will Fuller coming out.
I'm gonna look up Fuller, what he was going into the league, because I don't hate that one either. But I think he's gonna get talked about like Jerry Jeudy was, where Jeudy was in a class where, of course, there were like bigger wide receivers that were around
6 foot 186 for Will Fuller.
Okay, so yeah, it's the same exact thing. It's the same thing. Yeah. And he's going to get talked about with a lot of other potential bigger wide receivers, but because of what you mentioned there, the smoothness in which he plays is going to be so alluring, and some teams going to absolutely love it. So I don't expect there to be a shortage of suitors for Chris Olave. I wouldn't have thought that would have been the case in the draft last year, but here we are talking about him this year, and I think he's going to be drafted top 32, no doubt about it. Before we get on to our next guy, we'll talk about his teammate next. We'll talk about his 5-star teammate, Garrett Wilson, next. But before we get to Wilson, want to get to talking about Built Bar protein bars, because they are the best tasting protein bars that you guys are ever gonna find. I recently just started doing like 6:30 a.m., 7 a.m. workouts, and I love it.
Relax.
It's great. Relax. I enjoy it. I enjoy waking up early. Yep. I enjoy getting the juices flowing, but it's so hard for me to wake up early enough to get a meal in or something in my stomach right away to where I've got the fuel to actually fuel the workout, which I woke up to do. That's where Built Bar protein bars come in. I could just wake up, get maximum sleep, and these things are so good. They're low in calories, they're low in sugars, but they're high in protein, they're high in fiber too. So I get all that protein right at the beginning of the morning, right before a workout. And so that's been really great for me. I know you can do them after workouts as well. You can, eat two of them. Maybe just have it a meal replacement if you're out and about. You're just going throughout the day and you don't have time to really sit down and get a full meal in. They've got a lot of great flavors, 9 flavors that are award-winning, I would say, that are always on the website, but they've also got their limited edition flavors that you've got to go to BuiltBar.com to always make sure that you check out. If you go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off your next order, whatever it is, whether it's one box, one flavor, two box, two flavors, three flavors. You're just going to get 15% off of it when you use the promo code LOCKED15 over at BuiltBar.com. We're going to talk about Garrett Wilson coming up after the break. All right. Said a lot of words about Chris Olave, how much we really liked Olave. Now let's talk about his teammate, Garrett Wilson, the other wide receiver there. And I just wanted to say that when I got done with my film review of Garrett Wilson, said to myself, it is absolutely unethical and illegal for a college football program to have both Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave for two straight years. Garrett Wilson's entering
his, Jeremy Ruckert, too.
That's true. Garrett Wilson is entering his junior season. He was not draft eligible last year. He was only a sophomore. He's about 6 foot 190 as well, so carries about the same kind of measurables as Chris Olave. Garrett Wilson, though, he wasn't a three-star recruit. He was a five-star recruit. He was the number two wide receiver in the 2019 recruiting class. But for as much as he was a standout on the field in high school, he also won the All-American Bowl Man of the Year Award going into Ohio State for his community service. And so he's been...
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's been making a name for himself in the best ways, both on and off the field, and it really did not take him long to make a name for himself as a Buckeye in that offense. We saw last year as a sophomore, he was right there. He was that 1-2 with Chris Olave, so I'm curious to see where you have these guys stacked up and what you think of Wilson going into his true junior season.
I think Wilson is just... It's not fair that he has to play next to Olave. It just isn't. Because he's a little bit overrated. Just a little bit. He's very, 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 very good.
I don't think you can't say very that many times and then tell me he's overrated.
He's very good. First, he is very high cut. And he's high waisted, I should say. He's high hipped. And so
Been there, Garrett.
Yeah, he doesn't. He has some really, really nice routes. He has some really, really nice change of direction. He clearly knows what he's doing with his feet and knows how to set up his angles and whatever. But he is out of control, out of his breaks, a fair bit. And I think it's just because of how much leg he's got. He's high-hip, so you really got to be able to drop your weight to make those cuts. And you have to be really smart with your feet in order to do it. And he runs on his toes a little bit, which doesn't help. So that's number one. Number two, he can make some absurd catches. Like, five-star, no doubt, 0% surprise. There are instances where he tracks the ball. Like, there's the pass that he caught that got tipped against Nebraska at the line of scrimmage, where it's just like he just flips his hands and catches it. Mm-hmm. There's the deep bomb catch against Ohio State where he's got to turn, he's got to go get it.
Against Ohio State.
Against Clemson, where he has to go over the opposite shoulder and he has to go get it. There's another one, I think it's against Indiana. Maybe it's Nebraska. I can't remember. He's running a curl and he like falls over, which again, like he's a little bit out of control sometimes and just like catches it while he's falling down. Like he just has an instinct for catching the football that's unteachable and very evident. He also has some dumb drops and it's because he just doesn't have the focus, the regimented process. They're hurried drops. He's trying to get to the next thing. He's trying to go get to the run after the catch. He's a very, very tough runner for the catch. He's a very tough player. Loves to carry guys for extra yardage. Love to see it. It's great. Has elusiveness too, but just catch the ball and then get there. And then in instances like some of that deep ball against Clemson, there are times where he makes plays more difficult on himself by the way that he elects to track the football and the way that he elects to go after the ball. He likes to make some contested catches. He likes to make some over-the-shoulder catches that he probably doesn't have to make in the way that he's making them. Which is a stupid complaint because it's nice to see him do difficult things, but it's just saying that he can make his life easier and remove some of the sloppiness mistakes, in my opinion. So Garrett Wilson is I think he is more naturally talented than Chris Olave. Mm-hmm. Olave is like, cause he's so smooth, people are going to think that he's not that good of an athlete. Cause usually when we say smooth, it's like, you know, oh, he's not incredibly fast or whatever. No, Olave's
Sometimes it can be a little bit of a backhanded compliment, yeah. But it's not with Olave.
And that's not the case here, right? But I just think that Wilson, for his unbelievable agility and explosiveness, he's just a little herky-jerky, and he's just a little bit out of control, and at times he's just a little bit lazy with how he addresses the ball. And we can clean up a lot of this with just some really focused, intentional acknowledgement of the fact that, you know, being a five-star and having all this natural ability gets you to a point. And then after that point, you have to be able to do the little things right at a high level. And that point comes in the NFL. So I think that right now, if they both enter the draft, I think that a majority of people and a majority of teams would have Wilson over Olave. And I think that would be wrong. I think that Wilson could very well catch up to and pass Olave this year by just doing some rudimentary stuff a little bit better. But as it is right now, I just think that he's just not the same level of consistency. He can be a little bit all over the place. And that is an existing concern for a young player that should be discussed in the summer. And that's okay.
I agree. I think that NFL teams would have Wilson over Olave. I think that going into the year, there would be a lot of teams. And if you polled the majority of teams and their scouting staffs, I think most would have Wilson over Olave. And I do think that that might be a product of us believing that new is always better. And it's hard for me to say that.
And recruiting matters, right? Like, people care about
it. It does. And I agree with you. I think that Garrett Wilson is a little bit more athletic than Chris Olave is. When I say athletic, I should specify by saying just like explosive. Like, I think he's just more explosive than Olave, and it's not by much, folks. Like, it's really not. I think Olave, man, when I was watching him, he can get out of his stance, man. I mean, like, both of these guys, that was something that was a major takeaway that I had from both of these wide receivers. No false steps. The second the ball is snapped, they're going off the front foot, and they are moving. Like, these dudes are out of the stance, eating up space between them and the corner, putting the corner in a tough position, making them hit a blind spot, putting their foot in the ground, and all of a sudden, they're just, you know, it's a clinic. I would tell you that where I think that Wilson is a little bit more explosive, he is not as polished. And I agree with you. I think that's the main takeaway. Now, I don't think it's ugly by any means. There's a handful of plays where, you know, you mentioned him being high-waisted. And when you're high-waisted, if you just got more legs on you, it's more difficult to sink those hips, to have that just immediate flexibility of being able to chop the feet, put your foot in the ground, turn your hips, boom, you're turning right around for a comeback. It's just, you've got more legs on you. It's just physically more difficult to do. And I think you see a little bit of that with Wilson, no doubt about it. It's not as quick, it's not as precise,
right,
like it is with Olave, but it's there. I mean, I think he definitely understands it. And you could tell over the last 2 years that he's been at Ohio State, he's really been working on it. He has too. There was I can't remember. It was Nebraska or Indiana. It was one of these games where
Nebraska and Indiana both wore like all whites with red helmets. I know. Ohio State, and it screws me.
And Wilson was running from the slot, and he was running like a vertical route from the slot. But in doing so, he comes out of his stance, and the corner's giving him a lot of cushion, as they should, because I think they knew that it was going to be a vertical concept, and they were respecting Wilson's athleticism. And Wilson, like, and this is common. It's not like he did something no other wide receiver does, but he rounded his route to make sure that the person who was covering him had to flip their hips completely to the sideline. And the second they did that, Wilson, boom, flipped his hips, went back inside, full stride, continued to speed up, and he just left the defender immediately in the dust. It might have been the touchdown throw that was a beauty by Justin Fields from like midfield. It might have been that exact play where, you know, it's just, he gets it. And I think that there are some flexibility things that he needs to work on. Like you mentioned, some technique things that might make his high-waisted natural body type just a little bit more workable, a little bit more explosive, still where he can have a little bit more control. But
right,
I think we see him the same way. I think you and I see him as a really, really athletic, explosive player who brings you a great baseline of athleticism and how to play the position. He's just a little bit, you mentioned, you said out of control. And you know what? I think that's a great way to put it. He's just a little bit out of control. He could be a little bit more controlled and precise in what he does. And if he does, he can be a phenomenal wide receiver.
You brought up Jerry Judy's name on Olave, and I understand why, because Judy's such a good route runner. Olave's such a good route runner. Garrett Wilson has, in my opinion, a Judy body type, right? Judy's a little, bit high waisted.
Right.
And they both have just that stupid flexibility, that stupid fluidity where like they're snapping through cuts. There's the Garrett Wilson touchdown catch against Alabama where he's stemming to the inside and then he works to the outside. I mean, it's a jab step and he goes like 3 yards. You're just like, what in God's name is in your knee? Like, how is this real? That is very Judy-y. So Wilson like reminds me of like, this is what Judy looked like 2 or 3 years before he came out or something like that. You know what I mean? It's just like, they're just to be able to make this play style work with this body type, there has to be a lot of polish. And that Judy was so stinking polished, right? The routes were so crisp. They're so clean. At times, you would see him get out of control because he was trying to do some really austere stuff. And at times, what else did Judy have? Focus drops. And that's what you have with Garrett Wilson. So I think that there are similarities there. It's just Garrett Wilson's further behind on the developmental track. Mm-hmm. So this upcoming year is humongous for him. He has the talent, the recruiting ranking, the skill set to just beat out Olave and be the number one target. Got to do it. Got to be able to do that if you're going to make that top half of the first round play. And I think he can. I'm not sure he will, but I think he can. I'm excited to see it.
We got John Metchie and Jahan Dotson, the two other wide receivers that we're talking about. Before we get to those, got to remind people that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. You can get all of the latest news, odds, info for all your sporting needs, not just football, but baseball, basketball, NHL, UFC, MMA. It's got it all. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to really get into the game, put some money on the line. Head over to their website or use your mobile device today to sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus on whatever you put down as your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's locked on, all caps, one word. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Got two more wide receivers we're talking about after the break. All right, so we got John Metchie, third, and Jahan Dotson, one from Alabama, one from Penn State. Ben, is there one that you want to particularly close with or open up? I'll leave that to you since I picked the first two orders.
Yeah, I want to talk about Jahan Dotson, actually, because very much so right now, Jahan Dotson is discount Garrett Wilson. Dotson's listed 5'11", a buck 85. Mm-hmm. So A, we're definitely a little bit smaller than Garrett Wilson, who, I don't know if we said it, Garrett Wilson's listed at 6'188". I do think that Wilson is probably around 6 foot. I'm not sure Dotson hits 5'11", but quickness, agility, and the ability to snap off breaks, absolutely there. Dotson doesn't get the same variety of like wheel routes and vertical releases that Garrett Wilson got because of all the option routes that Ohio State runs. But we're talking about snapping off a slant, snapping off a comeback. Jahan Dotson, crisp and clean, baby. Very, very nice. This, by the way, is the receiver out of Penn State. I don't know if I said that. You may remember him from the game against Ohio State where we were all like, Sean Wade's maybe good. And then Jahan Dotson was like, I'm going to murder this man. I'm going to end this man's whole career. And we were all like, oh man, Sean Wade. Dotson had an unbelievable catch in that game, one-handed, skying above Sean Wade, because they loved to throw him the back shoulder fade when he was on an outside release nine pattern. And if you're saying to yourself, Ben, you don't throw back shoulders to 5'11", 185 pound guys. Yeah, you don't. And Dotson is weird good in the air. And that's the thing with Garrett Wilson, right? It's like the catches outside of his frame are just like, all right, that's stupid. Like you shouldn't be able to track, adjust, and make these radius catches like this. And Dotson has that ability. Game against Maryland, multiple catches on the sideline, including a touchdown, where he just skies for it. Elevation ability is nuts. Timing is perfect. Somehow he's strong in the air despite not being super thickly built. And he's able to make catches through contact and survive the ground. And usually, because I'm a very much like the traits have to match the skills sort of a guy, I see this, I'm like, oh, that's nice. But I'm not going to buy it. And I'm not going to put too much stock in it because you just don't have the body type for this. You're not going to see these targets in the NFL. I'd maybe throw Jahan Dotson one or two of these because he's just stupid good. It's very odd for him to be this good in this skill set. So you want to see it continue into next season. And certainly he's much more so of a slot body type, and he has slot releases, and he has quality hands, and he can make tough catches in quick areas. He can react to balls, catch balls with a lot of velocity outside of his frame. He also does a nice job retaining velocity as he's running through his catches, which is an important thing for a slot. And so he's very much, to me, discount Garrett Wilson. Not as big. Certainly more leans on explosiveness and agility. Not as explosive, not as agile, but that's where his strengths are going to be. Very, very good catching outside of his frame. Needs a little bit more polish. You'll see him come out of control on some of his outbreaking routes. You'll see him on comebacks need to take an extra step because he's snapping so hard and he's trying to really, really stop on that dime and he's trying to kill all that momentum. And at times you don't need to be playing with that level of austerity, and you can play with a little bit more smoothness and a little bit more rhythm. Like Garrett Wilson, he's just emerging into his high volume role here for Penn State. He was, I want to say, honorable all American after his junior season this past year. This was when he really exploded onto the scene for Penn State. The unfortunate thing for Dotson is that he simply is not going to get the caliber of quarterback play or the caliber of offensive design that Garrett Wilson's going to get. Shout out Penn State. Shout out James Franklin. Shout out Sean Clifford. So that might stunt our ability to see him as a full three-level threat a little bit. But in terms of exciting slot separators, he's right up there with the guys that we've previously discussed. The one big thing that you have to answer is, are you getting all these back shoulder fades because you're just weirdly good at them? Or do you not have the separation speed? And I will say at times you're watching him when he's got outside and he's got upfield leverage on a guy and you're like, all right, burn him. And I'm not sure he can. So he may be cordoned to the slot, unlike Chris Olave and unlike Garrett Wilson, because I don't think he has that field stretching ability. But if you liked KJ Hamler, yeah, John Dotson.
I don't think he's near the athlete KJ Hamler is.
Yeah. But same mold, same role.
I think,
and also he's remarkably bigger than KJ Hamler was.
True. I struggle with Dotson because I really want to like this player. I think that he has a great grasp at what it takes to be a wide receiver, which is at the end of the day, you catching the football. You know, like wherever it is, if it's close to the body, if it's out away from him, if the arms are fully extended, if it's up in the air, if it's at the sideline, if it's over the middle, he is good at catching the football. But I continually noted that his best attribute is catching through contact in the air.
Right.
And he's 5'10", 5'11". You mentioned right. that, and it's like, it's like the N'Keal Harry thing, right? And I'm scared of this because with guys that just make their name off of being a contested catch wide receiver, you've got to be really damn good at being a contested catch wide receiver, and you've often got to have the physical attributes to continue to give you the leverage to, even though you're great at it, even though you might have great strength in your core and in your hands, you've still got to be a leg up on some of these corners. And if you're the exact same size as all of these defensive backs that you're going up against, it's an even playing field every time that ball is in the air. And you don't like that odds. You don't want the odds to be as even as they are when you're throwing a ball up to Dotson. Now, like you said, he's so good at it that it makes you think you can do it, like you can get away with it, and you like doing that. But there were too many times where the final point that you made is, and I think it's an important one, and maybe I will be proven wrong by this year as he has another season and he's able to display this a little bit better, but I felt like there were too many times when a player that is 5'10", 5'11", 185 pounds, when he gets even with a defensive back, you know, like when you mentioned, when he's got the outside leverage and he puts the, you know, little step on them at the beginning of his route and he gets to the outside and he's going up the sideline and he gets even with the corner, that's when you go, hey, you should be kicking it into a next gear. You should be toasting this dude. And he doesn't. And I don't know if that's because that's how they practice it. Like, they have a certain amount of yardage in which the ball will be coming to him and he's simply just like looking for the ball, or if he's really putting his foot in the ground and trying to go as fast as he can, because if he is, I'm telling you, that's a problem. It's going to be an issue for him because NFL defensive backs only get more athletic. They only get stronger. They only get bigger. So if Dotson can't separate from these guys vertically now, he's sure as hell not going to be able to separate it from them when they get into the NFL. Then at that point, he becomes a contested catch wide receiver. He's great at that in college, but he's 5'10", he's 5'11". So Dotson is a interesting case for me because I want to like this receiver a lot. But I didn't see enough separation ability from him to have full faith in where he's going as a potential, you know, like top 50 kind of a wide receiver or somebody that you prioritize early in round two. I don't know. I just didn't see that from him. I feel like you can get contested catch wide receivers a lot, especially ones that are a little bit taller than him. And so it's not like I don't like the wide receiver, but I'm really skeptical about his separation ability.
I'm skeptical about the separation ability on the outside. I'm not as worried about it when he's a slot. To me, when he's in the slot, he's got NFL separation ability right now.
And I'll keep an eye on that because I didn't specifically note that in my scouting notes that I have here, because I just remember a lot of plays that they have with him at the sideline. So I'm going to go through his tape again, and that's a good lesson for everybody out there. If you already watched Jahan Dotson, or if you're about to, make note of his outside reps versus his slot reps, because it could be a lot different for him.
It's also worth noting and remembering, just elite name, Jahan Dotson.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah. That's a name for a call right there.
No, 100%. Okay, last guy that we're talking about, John Metchie III, wide receiver from Alabama.
Never heard of him. Never. Alabama, wide receiver? Come on.
Also known as the next in line here. He's a junior this season. He's 6 foot tall, 195 pounds. He's a little bit more stacked than these other guys. Four-star prospect from Canada, but he's had a very interesting life journey. He was born in Taiwan, moved to Ghana when he was very young, then moved from Ghana to Canada, which is where he learned to love football and got into the game and got noticed and everything like that. But he's bounced around a lot. He's been all over the place now, obviously in Tuscaloosa, third year with the Alabama football program. Ben, what did you think about John Metchie?
Where did he live in Canada?
I do not remember exactly what
city. Brampton, a suburb of Toronto. That's cool. Everybody's always like, he's from Canada. Nobody ever specifies. So I was like, I don't really know where in Canada he lived. John Metchie, very good at football. like all the other Alabama receivers before him. The build is waddle-ish, right? In terms of he's got this low riding frame, and he's got a nice thick frame. Waddle was definitely shorter. But yes. Metchie still got, I think, some nice density to him and some of that like little running backy sort of a build, which is nice. The fluidity, flexibility, change of direction ability, revolting, just disgusting, just defensive. how they keep finding guys who can move like this, I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It is unfair, right? Isn't it? It's awful.
It's worth noting that Metchie does not have waddle speed or rug speed. I think that he's fast. I don't think that he's like that sort of fast. So that makes it a little bit more excusable. Like, he doesn't move like the same way that Waddle did, where like Waddle's like making cuts like a running back, right? And changing direction like a corner, and then he just like runs like a 4-2, whatever. Right. I don't think that Metchie has that long speed. And I think that you saw that a little bit last season. When Waddle gets those sluggo looks, when Waddle gets those deep post looks and he catches that ball and then turns on the jets, I mean, the safety leaves the frame, as opposed to when Metchie would get those looks once Waddle went down. Metchie would still score, mind you, but he wouldn't necessarily be burning cats the same way that that Waddle did. With that said, used more as a intermediate route runner, an intermediate separator. Than Waddle was. I got a little bit less in the design touch sort of area, a little bit more in the you know, break a guy off in man coverage, which is nice to see. Routes are clearly pro ready, even if he doesn't you know this Steve Sarkisian offense, we talked about it last year with Waddle and Devontae. They could just run deep crossers the entire game and be fine. But routes are clearly pro ready, understands leverage. Hands have no problem, no issues with drops. And then finally, physicality. Get in your face.
Yeah.
And the reason I started with his frame is because he's, okay, so 6 foot, 195. If it's true, which it might be, I think he's the only one.
He's pretty stacked, man.
Yeah, he's the only one in this class where I think he might be like 5'11", 195. If so, like, it's a pretty decent BMI. It's pretty decent density. He is stronger than everybody thinks. And he'll put his shoulder into you and take you for a walk a little bit. And it's really nice. I don't want to say refreshing, because like, it's not like the other guy, Alabama guys weren't. Just none of them had to do that. And I don't think Metchie does either, but he does. He has a willingness to get physical with you at the top of his route, and certainly get physical with you when he has the ball in his hands. He'll also stem and stock block for Devontae and for Waddle last year. And he'll take you for a ride a little bit. And so he's got a nice little mean streak in him that I think, if we're looking for something to make him distinct from some of these other Alabama receivers to come out, that's a nice part of it. I think that right now, Metchie's the... From the four we've watched, Metchie would be my favorite to be wide receiver one.
In my best Nick Cage voice, it's high praise. for the guys that we looked at here. You know what? When I watched Mechie's tape, it's very clear that Nick Saban sat him down very early on in his career at Alabama. Said, John, you're a good kid and you're a talented kid. He said, thanks, Nick. Called him first name basis right off the bat.
Can I get the Nick Saban voice?
I'm not good at a Nick Saban voice, so I wouldn't even know where to begin. But he said, you want to play football fair? John Mechie said, yeah, absolutely. He's like, you want to play football early? He said, yeah, absolutely. Go block your ass off. And he said, okay, coach. And he, dude, it is not even like Mechie runs his body into defenders. He angles them. He puts his hands under the armpits. Like he positions himself. He widens the base. He walls them off. Like they run their wide receiver reverses and certain running plays. They run them to Mechie because Mechie's a legit blocker. Now, can he get better at it? Yeah, of course. But man, the same way that his blocking ability is a X factor and helps his tape stand out the way that it is for Kyren Williams, that's going to be the case for John Mechie.
Because, oh my God, he found a way to mention Kyren Williams during day one of wide receiver talk.
Because it is, you bet your ass I did. Because it is, that's RB1 Kyren Williams to you. It is so evident. You're go done. Watch the Ole Miss game. Man, it's just all there.
Don't tell me what to do.
I'm telling you what to do. It's my podcast. I'm telling you what to do. Go watch the Ole Miss game. You will see him wall off defenders. You will see him stick his nose in there. And, you know, you mentioned it. We all saw it last year. He's a great wide receiver. He's such a great deep threat. He has adequate NFL speed, no doubt about it. He's got the strength. He's got good hands. You know, he's playing behind Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith, two future top 10 picks, and he was still able to stand out. That means a lot. I think that means a lot, even in an offense and in an age where you're spreading things out and you're getting more wide receivers on the field. I think that it is worth noting that we all know John Mechie's name here going into his junior season when he was playing next to those two guys. And so, yeah, I think this is a great wide receiver. I think that we watched three first-round wide receivers today. I don't think any doubt about it in Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and John Mechie. I don't know where they're going to stack up, but I think these are middle or back end of the first round kind of wide receivers. And as for John Dotson, I mean, he might be able to get there. He might be, you know, like if I, maybe I'll see him in a different light. Maybe I'll think that he could be worth the back end of the first round. But, I think all of these guys that we watched today were supremely talented. And I think that it's just the tip of the iceberg for all the guys that we're going to talk about this week.
Here's the thing. Mechie's got to be the first receiver drafted in this class, because if he isn't, then it'll mean of the five Bama receivers to come out in 3 years, the only one who was wide receiver one in his class was Henry Ruggs, who is probably the fifth best. And that'll just be weird for me. I won't like it.
I was wondering if it was because you had money on the line for Mechie to be wide receiver one.
No, I learned my mistake last year after I placed money on Rashad Bateman. And I was right.
What do you mean you were right? He wasn't even close.
He ended up being a first round receiver. He was so good. He was underpriced. It's just freaking Jamar Chase is very good.
I do think it's always hilarious when people who are degenerate sports bettors obsess over which bet is the best bargain. You will obsess and you'll be like, what's the best bet for your money? You'll be like, this one. I think that he's underpriced at this route, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but is that going to hit? Because if it doesn't hit, then all that matters is I lost money.
Listen, not what it's about, because it's a matter of who's underpriced making those bets, and it's not a matter of it hitting. It's a matter of eventually one of them hits.
You and think this, that?
Yes, because in this case, it was for me to the best price when the Niners traded up for three was Justin Fields, and then it was Trey Lance when Fields went down. And I bought Trey Lance just exclusively because the price was too good, because I knew it wasn't going to be Mac Jones, and I knew Zach Wilson wasn't going to make it there. And so then I bought Trey Lance. And the money on Trey Lance going three alone, when you made that pick like 3 weeks before the rumor started, when you bought that ticket, warrants the Rashad Bateman move in the summer. Like, I've had Justin Fields to be number one overall, you know, from the summer, and none of those cashed. But it's buying those tickets when the price is never going to be better than that, and eventually you hit on one. And that one justifies the spread. That's the point, is you make a series of those bets over time.
So you make that just to break even.
Yeah.
Just to have
J.C. Horn, freaking first defensive player off the board, which I took in the beginning of March. All right. So you can suck it, sir.
Would you say that you are career lifetime up on sports bets?
Yes.
Oh.
Wow. I mean, I'm fairly certain that since I've started tracking, I am. Maybe like the first year I did it, where I was like still learning it, probably, you know, that year's a net negative. But since I've been tracking it, which has been the last couple of years, yes, I am.
Oh, folks.
Yeah. Forget if that. I hadn't bet on the 76ers once in my entire life, I'd be so much higher up. That doesn't matter.
All right, so all right, we got a lot of wide receivers that we're getting to later this week. We talked about four today. I believe it's four tomorrow, and then oh shoot, we're gonna get to 8-10.
Have you looked at that day on the schedule? I literally wrote three names, and then I wrote, I don't know, you write some names because I didn't want to decide.
yeah, day three. You've got Anaya Smith, Zay Flowers, Dante Davis, and then you say, I don't know, you choose one. I'm not just gonna choose one, I'm gonna choose like eight.
Please do.
We're going to watch as many as possible. We got Drake London tomorrow from USC. We got George Pickens from Georgia. We got Treylon Burks from Arkansas. We got David Bell. I mean, we're talking all sorts of top-tier talented wide receivers all week long. Make sure you stick with it. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.